Jesus was speaking in a desert, a desolate, empty place. His heart was moved with pity as he peered out across the people, physically and spiritually hungry, pressed in around him. We might ask, thinking about today, why do people gather in large crowds? For a concert, to hear a speaker, to celebrate the Toronto Raptors baseball championship or basketball championship? I know I got swept up with Canada's team, but doesn't it tell us that we have a kind of a hunger to be part of something bigger than just ourselves? Something which brings us together in a kind of a community to celebrate and to be fed in some deeper way. Isn't that what they were doing when they went out and followed Jesus into the desert? He was giving them words of life to feed their souls, and he was healing their bodies. But it was the end of the day, and they didn't have an LRT to take them home for supper after. They have nothing to eat. Send them away to get something, the disciples said to him. You give them something to eat, he answered. What an interesting and startling thing to say. There's a well-known Bible teacher named Jeff Cavin. Some of you will know of him. He's spoken in this church several times over the years. He says that when people tell him why they have left the Catholic Church, they often say, I had to leave. I wasn't being fed. So Jeff titled one of his talks, I'm Not Being Fed, the Number One Catholic Eating Disorder. And in his talk, he asked the question, well, who is it who has the responsibility to feed us? And what are they going to feed us? So if we look at ourselves honestly today, I think we come here perhaps with a kind of a hunger, varying degrees of longing to be fed in some way. And most of the time we ignore that deeper hunger, I think. Or we keep going to the refrigerator and the pantry and it doesn't satisfy us. Today's feast might help us ask, who am I turning to for spiritual food, and what kind of food do I need? If we're listening to Jesus' words, what do we think when we hear him say, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Who eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. What does that mean? In 1263, about 750 years ago, there was a German priest named Peter of Prague. He was a good and holy priest, but he had this dark secret that he couldn't tell people. And that secret was that he had doubts about what the church teaches about the Eucharist. Just like those in the gospel, he often asked himself, how can this be? How can Jesus share with us his body and his blood? He had trouble believing that, at the words of the consecration, the bread and wine became the body and blood of our Savior, and whether Christ was actually present in the consecrated host. And so he prayed to the Lord that he would increase his faith. The very next day, he celebrated Mass at the tomb of St. Christina, an early martyr of the church. As soon as he had said the words of consecration, the host began to bleed. Blood fell onto his hands and onto the corporal on the altar. He didn't know what to think, and he began to cry. At first, he tried to hide the blood, and then he interrupted the Mass because he had to announce to the people what had happened. And the congregation, too, was awestruck. Father Peter placed the host and the corporal and then wrapped both in another linen and went to see Pope Urban IV, who was nearby, who then ordered an investigation. After all the facts had been laid out, the Holy Father declared a miracle had occurred. And 1 year later, in 1264, the Pope instituted the feast of Corpus Christi, a special feast day to recognize and to promote the great gift of the Blessed Sacrament, Jesus' body and blood present to us. And 750 years later, one can see the altar where the miracle took place, the blood-stained stones, the altar cloth, and the fragments of the miraculous host. Going back to the desert, Jesus demanded of his disciples, you feed them. That was a test from Jesus. It was to make sure that they understood the point that they had nothing to offer the people except a boy's lunch, 5 little barley loaves and 2 fish. But it was all Jesus needed. He looked up to heaven, and he blessed, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples and asked them to set it before the crowd. Do we see him and hear him using the sacramental words, the same words and actions at Mass today that Father Terry will use? And then it says, and all ate and were filled. He blessed what little food was available, and the bread and the fish just kept on coming. Not quite the same as the Knights of Columbus salmon dinner a couple of weeks ago, but in a miraculous way. The multiplication of loaves is the only miracle besides the resurrection itself that is in all 4 Gospels. It makes us think back to the Old Testament, where we see similar miracles involving food, especially the manna in the desert. But then there's this strange event of King Melchizedek of Salem. His name means King of Righteousness, and the place he is from is Salem, which may remind us of Jerusalem. Salem means shalom, which is peace. But he wasn't just a king, he was also a priest of God Most High. And he brought out bread and wine and blessed Abram, and after Abram had won a victory against several kings, rescuing his nephew Lot, with a tiny force made up of a few friends. Obviously, God's hand was there. Now, Abram must have been some impressed with the blessing that he got from Melchizedek, because he gave the king priest, 1/10 of everything he owned. The King of Righteousness appears to mysteriously come out of nowhere, and it doesn't take much to see that this man, who is a priest and a king, points forward to Jesus, who blesses and offers bread and wine to feed us, to whom we owe not just 1/10, but everything that we have and are. Today also we have Paul's account of those words and actions of Jesus at the Last Supper. Paul writes to the Christians at Corinth some 20 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, and about 20 years before the first gospel, Mark, was written. At the time, he was angry when he heard about the social gaps between the rich and the poor at Corinth. Special status was given to a privileged few, while many people present were totally ignored, even at the celebration of the Eucharist. Paul reminds the people, the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took a cup also after supper, saying, "This is the cup, the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Today, on this altar, God will take our little gifts, a bit of bread and wine, and transform them into the gift of himself to us. This is not some symbolic action or an empty ritual. God is offering us his own blessed life in a way more real than anything we can imagine in our lives or in the universe. For Catholics, we take Jesus at his word. This means that the total Christ is present, truly, in the bread and wine. They still look like bread and wine, but they really are the body and blood of Christ. I talked to somebody once, it was a family member, actually, a brother-in-law, who had been going to church mass for years. And somebody said to him, they were talking about the Eucharist for some reason, and I was just overhearing it. Somebody said to him, "What do you think about that, you know, that idea that bread and wine becomes Jesus' body and blood?" He said, "Oh, that's ridiculous. I don't believe that." And here he was going to mass week after week. Yes, it does require faith to accept this teaching, but in a way, doesn't it make sense? Jesus is the one who feeds us. While on earth, he showed us that he had the power to make material food from almost nothing. But why would that food become lesser than what he offers us in an ongoing way? In the Eucharist, the ordinary becomes extraordinary. Ordinary bread and wine become the body and blood of the risen one. And ordinary people like you and me, we become the extraordinary body of Christ, the church, for the life of the world. Brothers and sisters, here is the essence of the radical gift that you and I can accept or we can reject. It's in the four words repeated over and over again. This is my body. In our culture, we hear, this is my body. I will do with it what I want. I will use or abuse my body for any momentary pleasure I can get out of it. I will use other people's bodies for my gratification. This is my body. And if my body or the life growing inside my body doesn't please me, I will kill that body. This is my body. And I will do what I want with it, even if it means to kill the life in it. But then we hear Jesus say, this is my body given for you. I will lay down my life for you, even for those who hate me. This is my body, and I will give it as food for all time, for those who are hungry for truth and peace and compassion, for those who are anxious, who have experienced great loss or sadness, for those who don't know why they feel empty or stuck or alone. The Eucharist is not a reminiscing or remembering someone who is absent or dead. It is a sacrament of bringing into the moment, this moment, the real presence of Jesus. Do we see the difference? When we come into the church, we should look for Jesus' presence in the tabernacle and genuflect as a sign of respect and awe. And that's why at the beginning of Mass, we ask for forgiveness for our sins so that we are free and ready to receive the gift that is about to come to us. That is why we bring the gifts up to the altar for the sacrifice, symbols of what we produce. But it's really ourselves that we bring to him. That's why we bow, we make a throne of our hands or on our tongue, we say the Amen, and we consume the host reverently and from the cup. If we focus on the few loaves and fishes that we have to offer, all we will see is what is lacking. But if we trust him, we can bring him our little lunch, our little gifts, and he will shower down blessings on us that we cannot imagine and that will not run out. We are being fed, brothers and sisters, and all that remains is for us to eat and to give thanks. That's what Eucharist means. That's the body of Christ. That's Corpus Christi.